Hi, this is Cornelius Fichtner. I am the host of the Project Management Prepcast. If you hear this message, then you are listening to the free Prepcast. This version of the program is not updated regularly, and it only contains a few episodes so that you can listen in and hear what the Premium Prepcast offers. The Premium Prepcast is for paying subscribers only. It is updated about twice a week, and we look at the concepts, tools, and techniques that you need to know in order to sit for the PMP exam. To learn more and to subscribe to the Premium Prepcast, please visit our website at www.pmprepcast.com. And now, on with the show.
Welcome to the Project Management Prepcast, helping you to prepare to take the PMP exam with your host, Cornelius Fichtner.
Hello and welcome to the Project Management Prepcast, where you can prepare for the PMP exam by hearing others talk about it. I am your host, Cornelius Fichtner. Today's episode is an interview with Ron Holohan from pm411.org. Ron is a student of our PM Prepcast who has just passed his PMP exam, and he has agreed to do an interview and tell us all about his experience. And there is, of course, no better way to learn than to hear firsthand from a freshly certified PMP what the exam is all about. As you know, the rules of the PMP exam are such that we are not allowed to discuss specific questions from his exam. But we can discuss Ron's experience, his general thoughts on the process, and his recommendations and study recommendations to you. Let's learn a little bit more about Ron, and then we hear about his journey to becoming a PMP. Ron Holohan is a program manager and has been involved in project management for over 13 years. Currently, he has 5 project managers reporting directly to him, and their work focuses on new product development in the consumer industry. Prior to becoming a program manager, he was a project manager on over 15 different new product development teams, varying in size from 7 to 30 full-time team members. The total yearly revenue generated from products for which he is responsible is well over $75 million. His specialties are project management, product development, schedule development, budget development, functional management, organizational communication, contract negotiating, meeting schedule metrics, meeting budget metrics, and meeting product cost metrics. Hello, Ron, and welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Oh, absolutely. We are very happy to have you here because you just recently passed the PMP exam. Congratulations to you. When did you pass?
I actually took the exam last week on Friday, the 7th of September, and you find out right after you finish the exam whether you passed or not. So
It was great to finish
the exam and find out at the same time that you passed.
Yeah, that's of course fantastic. You click that button and up comes pass, and from that very moment on, you can put those 3 letters behind your name,
that's
PMP.
Right. Yep. Yeah.
Why did you choose to become a PMP? What was the motivation for you?
I originally started thinking about becoming a PMP way back probably around 2001, 2002. And the reason why I considered becoming a PMP was because I wanted to learn new ways of getting better at project management, how to improve my on-time performance, how to be better at maintaining budgets, things like that. And I also wanted to find a network of other project managers outside of my company to share best practices with. And for some reason, at that time, I was under the impression that as part of the certification, you actually had to sign up for a bunch of different courses through a certification program at a university. And I decided right then that was not the time for me to go back to school. I was juggling work and had a family, and it was just something I just didn't have the time at that point to do. And then sometime just this past fall, I actually had lunch with a project manager that I had worked with and had mentored as he grew from an associate project manager to a full project manager. And as we were having lunch, to my surprise, he told me that he had recently become a PMP. And I knew he wasn't taking full-time classes, so I started asking him about the qualifications. And that's when I found out that candidates really can satisfy the project management requirements through, you know, various project management courses and workshops and training sessions. And it didn't have to be a university-based, you know, program. And, you know, it can be through various education providers. And so I was pretty excited about that. And so at that point, I started to get more interested and started to find various websites and discussion boards on PMP certification and really started to get into various PM-related podcasts, especially your podcast, the Project Management Podcast.
Thank you.
And yeah, and in March, I became a member of our local chapter of PMI. And sometime around probably late April, early May is when I, you know, signed up to take the exam and started, you know, really reading the PMBOK guide in preparation for the exam.
You work in one of the worldwide leading companies for audio-related products. Do you see that the PMP is going to help you in any way with your career at the company?
Yeah, I actually work as a program manager, so I have accountability for the program management of various personal listening products at our company. And I really think that by having the PMP certification, I can help to make sure that our PM processes follow the PMBOK methodology. And what I think this will do is bring a better sense of standardization to our product development process. And actually, I think I'm the first person at our company in product, in our division, product development, that has the PMP certification. So my goal is really to get the project managers that report to me certified in during the course of the next couple years. And hopefully, you know, having several of us certified will improve how we develop products.
Let's also not forget, you mentioned my podcast a little earlier on. You have your own podcast about project management. Why don't you give us a 30-second overview of what it is that people can hear on your podcast and, of course, the URL where we can find you?
I actually started my podcast about the same time that I started researching you know, different websites in preparation for taking the PMP. And I have a project management website and podcast called PM411.org, and which is surprisingly found at www.pm411.org. And my podcast features basically general project management topics, and I've started doing interviews with experts in the project management field. Matter of fact, my first interview was with you, Cornelius, on your podcast. And what I find is that podcasting really has allowed me to continue to gain knowledge on PM topics and, you know, topics that interest me and allows me to hopefully give something back to the project management community.
Yeah, it's an excellent tool for all those busy project managers out there who don't have the time to read, and but who are in the car and commute or on the plane and fly to their customers. Let's come back to the PMP exam. How did you prepare for the PMP exam? Let's look at the study materials. What study materials did you use?
Well, I bought several. I bought a prep CD-ROM, and I bought a couple study guides, a book of practice exams, and a subscription to your PM PrepCast. And, you know, I found that all those tools really helped me get a good balance of the information that I needed to pass the PMP.
Yeah, that's something that I always tell people. It's like, don't focus on one thing. If you buy a PMP workbook, don't just focus on that. You should have two or three things that you can rely on and fall back onto and get different viewpoints. Is that also what you found that it was helpful for?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think that you know, having a great number of different tools that you can look at You know, you actually find that if you focus on any one too much, you start to understand that author's style, or, you know, in the case of where you have practiced exams, you start figuring out which of the, you know, four answers is correct or the others that are incorrect just because of their style. And I think by using different tools, you can actually get different perspectives, as well as not get caught up in almost falsely, or, you know, giving yourself confidence that you're ready for the exam by learning someone's style and how they present questions. By, you know, doing multiple sources of questions, you really get a good feeling for what kind of questions are going to be on the exam.
And how many times did you read the PMBOK guide?
I actually only read it once. I know in your prep cast, you recommend twice, and I read it through once. One of the study guides I used is Andy Crow's How to Pass the PMP on Your First Try. And the nice thing is his study guide pretty much follows the knowledge areas and, you know, the organization that the PMBOK follows. But it does a much better job of breaking it down into topics and the different processes that are easy to understand and digest. I found the PMBOK a bit dry. I see it as a very good, you know, desk reference, you know, that I would return to if I wanted to find out more about, say, time management. But in studying for the PMP, I found that his guide really got me into the details and kept my interest a lot more than the PMBOK itself.
How effective was the prep cost for you?
I found it extremely effective. It, you know, it was critical. I listened to all the material at least once, and on several episodes, I actually listened to them multiple times. I remember listening to the episodes on various procurement and cost management processes multiple times. Since when I was learning this information, those were the areas that I felt like I needed the most, you know, a little bit better understanding. And, you know, I think what the PrepCast really did was give me really strong background through examples and just real good detailed information about each of the processes.
And how does it compare to the other exam prep materials that you bought? Any glaring holes or any places that we totally fall short or come in
no,
first?
No, I think definitely no places that you know the PrepCast comes in short. You know, the thing that it really helped me with is being audio. I didn't, you know, I found it hard trying to balance all the things in my life between work, and I'm in a band, and I have two children, and, you know, a wife, and trying to balance all those things and find time to study was rather difficult. But luckily, I actually have a fairly long commute, so what I could do is use the PrepCast to basically study an additional 3 hours a day driving to and from work. And you know, I found that the PrepCast was probably the best value in the study material I purchased. For example, the CD-ROMs I had purchased were close to about $300, and I think the PrepCast is only $39.99, which to me was a tremendous value for the amount of information in it. So I think it covered all the processes very well. You know, I think it gave me really a good understanding of all the processes. And, you know, there's no way of really preparing for every single question that possibly could be on the PMP. So in some cases, you're going to have to make educated guesses. And I think the PrepCast really gave me the background to do that effectively.
Was there any particular area of the exam material that you felt, oh, this is easy, or something that you said, oh, this was difficult?
Yeah, I think I did better. I definitely did very well in the professional and social responsibility sections. Questions pertaining to planning and executing, monitoring, controlling, I did very well on. But then I actually didn't do quite as well on, for some reason, on questions concerning initiating and closing. And, you know, the biggest challenge I found was trying to decide correct lists of particular inputs for various processes. Luckily, in some cases, I could narrow down the choices by recognizing that one of the inputs listed were actually an output or maybe a tool and technique.
Yeah, that's always an easy way to do it. You you didn't mention any in-person, in-classroom PMP prep workshops. Did you not take any classroom workshops? Did you only do it on self-study?
Yes, I did. I only did it on self-study. I considered it. I decided that because of the costs of most of the workshops that, you know, I decided to try to learn it on my own. And for me, you know, it appeared to be the right decision. You know, to me, it's probably, it really depends on how you want to learn. You know, some people would prefer to sit in a classroom and really get, you know, someone to be able to answer questions. And that helps me as well. But to me, I think for an exam like this, you know, just sitting down, going through the material and learning the different processes over and over again was the best way for me to understand the information.
Earlier on, we talked about sample questions, and I totally forgot to ask you, how many sample questions would you say you took?
Well, it's there were a lot. I think I took 5 or 6 full-length exams, and I probably did, I would say, maybe 50 online questions. So I would estimate somewhere between 1,000 and 1,200 questions, and yeah, it was, looking back, that's a lot.
Yeah. Was it helpful? Was that one of the reasons why you passed, or was it just, you know, getting you in the mood? Where would you say the importance is of doing that?
I think it was critical. I think, you know, in some cases there were actually questions on the exam that pretty much were set up very similar to the practice questions. But the other thing is what I would do is actually, you know, after I'd read through the PMBOK and listened to the PrepCast episodes, I would go through, take an exam, and on those questions that I got wrong or questions that I marked that I wasn't sure about, I went back and really focused on that material. By taking more and more tests, I got a sense that, you know, I really knew the stuff, and I became more confident to the point where, you know, I knew I was ready to take the exam.
It sounds like you studied quite a bit. How many hours of self-study did you put in?
I would say, probably including your prep cast, I would say somewhere around 100 hours. You know, in a lot of cases, I would have liked to have studied more, but just with everything, you know, in my life going on this summer, a lot of times, you know, I'd break away and study over the weekend or maybe one night a week in the evening at a coffee shop or library. But, you know, it really took me about 3 months from start, maybe even a little bit more from start till when I took the exam before I felt confident enough to take it.
One question, or rather two questions, that PMP aspirants always ask is, do I really have to know all of these formulas and be able to apply these formulas? And also, do I have to know the inputs, tools, techniques, and outputs by heart? Looking back at your path here to the PMP, would you say that you need to be able to apply the formulas and you have to know the inputs, tools, and techniques, and outputs by heart? What is your opinion of this?
Well, I would say for the formulas, definitely know those. I had memorized all the earned value and performance reporting, you know, the three-point estimating, standard deviation, even the float and late finish formulas. And I was able, you know, to spit those out on my brain dump sheet before actually starting the exam questions. But unfortunately, I didn't take the time to memorize the equation for calculating the point of total assumption and the expected monetary value equations, which also included penalties for the seller. And the reason why I didn't bother to memorize those was really because I had not come across any specific questions while doing practice exams. So my advice would be to, you know, learn the formulas well enough so at least you can put them on your brain dumps sheet. And as far as, you know, memorizing all the inputs, outputs, tools, and techniques, I definitely didn't do that. I learned, you know, the 44 processes and basically the order that they fell into each of the knowledge areas by process group. But I think if I had tried to memorize all of that, my head would have probably exploded. So, what I tried to do is have a good understanding of what process, fed into the next process.
With everything that you now know about the exam, what would you do differently if you had to take the exam again?
Well, I think, as I mentioned, I would definitely memorize all the formulas in the PMBOK and the study guides, and not just those that appear on a lot of practice exams. Also, I would probably, should have taken your recommendation of recreating the process, the various processes, from page 7 of the PMBOK onto my brain dump sheet. I didn't actually do that. I knew them kind of in my head. But what I found was having them in your head and even knowing what order they go into, sometimes the way questions are worded can kind of jumble things up in your head. So I think, looking back, I probably should have taken a few extra minutes to really put those down on my brain dump sheet. But other than that, I'm pretty happy with the way I studied for it, and it did the trick. I was able to pass it.
Yeah, page 70 is an important page on the exam. After the exam, once you get the congratulations, you pass, the test center, I believe, gives you a printout of the results, right?
Right.
What's printed on that sheet of paper that they give you?
Well, near the top, it actually tells you whether you passed or not. And, it's actually kind of nice because I'm not sure if all the test centers do this. I suspect they do. But when you complete your exam, it does some calculations. You see a little calculating bar on your computer screen, and then it tells you whether you passed or not. But as you leave the test center, one of the test proctors will actually hand you a printout, which gives you the results. And at the top, it tells you whether you passed or not. And then it really breaks down, it tells you what percent you correctly answered by process group, roughly, and is further broken down by process. So you get an idea of kind of what areas that you had the more difficult, more difficulty with than others.
To finish us off, let's take a look into your future. Now that you are a PMP, is there anything next in your career that you can see? Is there any, maybe an additional certification that you want to take?
Well, I would like to get the program management certification, which is fairly new to PMI. And, I think my actual function at my job is program management. I have more of a responsibility for our portfolio within my product segment. And so I would, like to get that exam taken, especially now that while the PMBOK is still fresh in my mind. So I would like to take that next.
All right. Well, thank you very much for having been here on the program with us today. And once again, congratulations on passing the PMP exam.
Thank you very much.
And this was our interview with Ron Holohan on how he became a PMP. Before we go, here is a collection of 6 PMP exam tips for you that all focus on how to find the best answer to a given sample question that you may find in a book or somewhere on the internet. First, some sample questions contain extra information. This information is irrelevant and it does not relate to the correct answer. Beware of such sample questions and ignore this extra information. You have to learn to just read over it. Second, remember to read sample questions and answers with the PMI and PMBOK mindset in mind. Don't rely on solely your experience. Combine your experience with the world of the PMBOK guide, because this represents an ideal environment for project managers that might be different from what you experience from day to day. Third, each sample question has only one correct answer. Select the most appropriate one. Be careful about answers that are correct answers. They're logically correct, but they have absolutely no relevance to the question that was asked. Therefore, make sure that you read all the answers before making a choice. Fourth, a spelling error or a grammatical error does not make an answer wrong. Fifth, learn to identify special cases. Such special cases are often correct. Look for words like often, sometimes, may, generally, perhaps in the answers. And finally, sixth, be careful about generalizations. Look for words such as always, never, must, or completely. Such answers are often the incorrect choice. Until next time.